What is good, you beautiful, beautiful people, you lovely, just little people that I love, unless you're someone that doesn't like me, in which case, go away. It's your boy with another episode. We got almost an episode a week coming up. Make sure if you're watching on YouTube, or even if you're listening on one of those other platforms, hit follow, hit subscribe, do all those things. Got mad stuff coming. I'm going to be real quick on all of these. You may have already seen all the mad stuff that's coming because you are a member of patreon.com/thedownbeat where you get episodes early. You just give me a pound, basically. It's mental. It's mental. It's just a pound. You can also get live drum streams. There's a bunch of stuff on there. patreon.com/thedownbeat. Let's get these all out of the way real quick. If you want to look cool, right? If you want to look really cool, you go to www.thedownbe.18, you buy a t-shirt, support the podcast, support me. It's all, it's luxury streetwear. Is it a podcast? Is it a brand? I don't know, but you're going to look cool. Arguably, I look quite cool wearing it. It sort of makes up for the rest of me. www.thedownbe.at, so it spells downbeat. That's that. What about this plate, Craig? This plate, make metal posters. You pop them on your wall with a magnet. There's no drilling, right? There's nothing. They come in three different sizes. Some of them are massive. The ones behind you, pretty sure they're the biggest ones. Not behind you, behind me. What a good advert this is. The ones behind me, they're the massive one. They go one size bigger than that. If you're just listening to this, you're an idiot, right? They're made of metal. There's no mess. There's no getting old like paper. Oh, paper. Like, remember they used to make banknotes out of paper? Guess what? They changed it to plastic. I bet you they're going to change it to metal. Why? Metal is the best. Listeners of the Downbeat podcast can get a massive 22% off 1-3 displates or 33% off 3 or more displates at displate.com using the code Downbeat. Supports the podcast, supports your walls looking sick. We've got a Downbeat store that supports me even more, if anything. We've got cool designs, coffee club design. We've got some anime designs, loads of cool stuff. Check it out. My guest this week is none other than Thomas Williams of Stray From The Path. I was in Nashville. You know this by now. He nipped in. It was very quick, right? And before we even got time to get really, really funny and stupid, he had to go and do some business stuff. But works in your favor because we talked a lot about the music business. He's a manager, a father, the guitarist in my band. He owns a record label. He does so many things. One of my besties. He's obviously a bestie. I've got maybe three people that I text any kind of business advice I need. Tom Williams is on there. It's a short one, but he hit us with some gems. We are currently about to go on tour together in our amazing band Stray From The Path. You can get tickets to that at www.strayfromthepath.co. We're in the UK and Europe in October, November, and then November, December, we're in the US of A. It is Thomas Williams on the Downbeat podcast. That's the start. Wow, what a day. Tom Williams back on the Downbeat.
I'm here.
At last, legs out. It's a leggy episode.
It's hot as fuck here.
It's hot. How about Nashville, huh? How about them Predators?
Those Preds, they're actually terrible.
Oh, I meant the other kind. Also terrible.
They're also there.
We're off to a good start.
Yeah.
It is really hot.
It's terrible. I don't even go outside. It's awful.
You know what is good, though?
What?
AC.
It's fucking awesome.
It's so unique.
You think some fucking like Euro will come to America and be like, fuck, I love this.
I know Euro.
You do, because like here's what's fun is like having a band with like mix international members is like we're both adopting the things that we like from each other's countries, right? So, like, you're just like, oh, I'm on board with the air conditioning, and, like, I'm on board with, like, how good the shows are,
I guess. I was going to say, like, can you give me three things that you prefer in the UK or Europe that you would like to happen here?
Yeah.
And I'll give you three from the States.
Well, the popularity of our band would be nice.
That's nothing to do with the climate.
No, okay. So we're just talking like living stuff. Damn, not a lot. I'm sorry.
Like, I know, that's why when you said that, I was like,
like America sucks, but it is also sick. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of cool shit and a lot of cool cities, and I'm just used to it. So it's tough to say. Like, so from the UK, I do love the UK, but I'm like, your dryers are terrible. The no AC is terrible. The wrong side of the road for me. I feel like I'm going to get hit by a car.
You know what, though? I was thinking about this. It's the wrong side of the road for almost everyone.
Yeah.
Why bother?
I don't know.
Because so I can't drive on any other country on earth without melting my brain, whereas you could drive in Europe if you had to.
I could drive in Europe. I could drive in Japan. I could drive in Australia.
I think Japan is on our side.
Wait, is Australia on your side too?
Even if they are, these are countries that I rarely go to.
Yeah, true. So, yeah, just really Europe. But like, the fact that you're mainland Europe and then you go to UK to go on the other side of the road, so fucking dumb. So there's like shit like that, but like, man, what do I like?
Branston pickle.
I love Branston pickle.
But it's not like game changing, yeah, like air conditioning.
And I could get it here. Like, you
can't. I mean, I can get air conditioning.
Can you though?
Is Branston pickle $5,000 to install?
I would pay $5,000 to have AC.
I'm looking into it.
Yeah. Like, why punish yourself?
I saw Oppenheimer and Middenheimer, and it was like, I felt like I was in a theme park doing one of those, like when they do like a 4D ride, like the bomb goes off and I was like, oh, it feels like the bomb's going off. It was so fucking hot. It was the craziest thing ever. And I was just thinking, it's the middle of summer. Who's not putting the AC on? They definitely have it.
Yeah.
And then I saw Barbie, it was exactly the same thing. Different cinema.
They just hate it, bro. Like,
but why?
I don't know.
Whenever I've spoke to someone, one of my own kind, and been like, why don't we have AC? But like, because it's really cold for half the year. It's like, it's really cold for half the year most places. Yeah. Like, what do you think New York City is?
Bro, and I mean, here in Tennessee, like, it gets like negative 10, like Fahrenheit, which is like fucked up cold. And then it gets like 110. We're talking about 100 degrees swing. 100. And like, I need my AC and then I fucking need my heat. Like, what are we talking about?
You
like,
guys don't have radiators either.
No, I don't. I grew up with one though.
That's just what we have, and it's so annoying when I'm like decorating my house. Great podcast, by the way. I'm decorating my house and I'm like, there's just a big bit of ugly metal everywhere. There would be one there that would ruin this shot.
Yeah.
Shout out Garrett, who helped us build this scene. He would be freaking out with the radiator.
You know what I used to call a radiator?
Go.
A radiator. I didn't know it was called a radiator for like 25 years.
But you didn't need to.
In New York, it's a radiator. Makes no sense.
Well, everyone still...
No, but people from Long Island will call it a radiator. That's... Like Drew and Neck, they'll call it a radiator.
I want to hear Drew say it.
He said it was. So bad. He said it once. He's like, yeah, it's a fucking radiator. And I'm like, you know, it's radiator. I was like,
Drew Pesci.
Yeah. I said radiator my whole life. And then I found out it was radiator. And I was like, God, I sound like a fucking moron. So.
Well, there we go. You haven't even given me one.
No, I don't. I don't have one. Like, I couldn't live in England, but I'd love it dearly. I don't know how to say that. I'll say it. But you could live in America.
I'll tell you one that there is one that I know that you think about as a man with a child now.
Yeah.
Gun control.
Yep.
Yep. We ain't got no guns. Someone went into a school, annihilated a bunch of people in 93, a bunch of children in 93, and they went, okay, they're done. And it never happened again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, it's definitely a conversation about leaving the country, you know, with my family, as far as, like, that's a real concern. Like,
it's insane.
Is someone going to shoot my daughter with a fucking gun? Possibly. Like, if I said that anywhere, most places, like, someone going to shoot me? Everyone would go, no.
Impossible. I would bet on it in the UK. I'd be like, I'll take a bet.
That you won't?
That it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But here, you wouldn't take the bet.
I mean, there's probably good odds on getting shot.
Like, what odds would you?
I mean, plus 10,000 on getting shot. Like, that's pretty good. It's bad though. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's like a legit thing where we're like, you know, but we have family here. But where would we go? You know, and it's so it's like, it's tough. We don't know what to do. Like, she's still 2.5. She's about to be 2.5. So it's like,
have you got to decide before real school?
I think real school. Yeah, because if like, here's the thing. If the school shooting stuff was a thing when I went to school, like, okay, here's what I want to say, and this might sound insane, but like, if I could guarantee that there will be no school shooting until high school,
yeah,
I'd probably roll the dice. Because like, if there was a school shooter in my high school when I went to high school, I know that like me, like I have a shot to get out of there.
Yeah,
there's legitimate children getting killed, like fucking 5-year-olds. Yeah. They have no shot. They have no shot. So it's just like they're fucked. So, but like when you're in high school, you do crazy things. You know what I mean? And you could sneak out of places and whatever. Take a person down. I don't know. It's insane that these are like literal possibilities here.
Where would you go?
I don't know, because I have to think about time zone stuff, like with my work. Like, what? I could live in the Netherlands. I love it there. I love it there so much.
Really?
I really could. Yeah.
You, Ramsey's going to grow up like...
She'll be fucking speaking... No. She'll be speaking 3 languages and shit. Like,
yeah, true.
It's so clean. I feel safe there. I love it.
Yeah, but where?
Eindhoven. I could live in Eindhoven.
Yeah, I can see you living in Eindhoven.
Yeah, it's so great. But like, that time difference sucks. So realistically, it's probably Canada. Mm. Which, I like Canada, but then I was like, do I want to go to Canadian winters? You know?
Are they bad the whole way across?
Ontario is very comparable to like an American city, in my opinion. Like, yeah. So like, I feel like I could go to Ontario, you know, and like, you know, the management company I work for is from there too. You know, it's like,
oh, you could be an office guy.
Yeah, I could. And honestly, that's cool. Office. That's cool. I like that. You know what I mean? Like, the people I work with, like, I'm talking to them constantly via text. Like, it would be sick if they were like right here, mm-hmm. you know? Because that stuff does matter. Like, anytime I have like flown somewhere and like worked in an office, like, it just while I'm there with like a bunch of people, like, it's cool. It's fun. It helps you like get inspired for shit. So I like that idea. Plus, like, you know.
Is that Toronto?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Hamilton, you know.
Is that where the offices are?
They don't have an office yet. They want it. They were going to get one, and then COVID hit, and they haven't. And then they want to open one. And then even when I mentioned like I would come up there, they're like, "Oh, we definitely would." Then, you know, and I think that's cool, especially because like the
you're gonna do that.
Maybe, I don't know. It's tough. It really depends on what everyone else wants to do. Because I love where I live. I really do. Like, I love my house. I love my neighborhood.
Do you think they'll ever... No, I don't think they will. I don't, like, sort out the gun law. Because by this America, point, it's gone too far, because everyone will just go, well, no.
America will never sort itself out. Never.
You can't... I can't really blame anyone if they've grown up their whole lives for just not being, like, open to it. Because they've just been conditioned.
Yeah, they never will. And the crazy people... The crazy people are having kids, and they're making their kids crazy. You know what I mean? So the next generation of crazy is already being, like, primed. It'll never sort itself out. It'll be crazy until the earth explodes. It's too far gone.
It's insane. There's no way. They just get crazier.
Yeah, it gets crazier. Like, literally, like, there was a school shooting 10 minutes from here. Kids.
When?
Couple months ago, six months ago, maybe.
It's fucking insane how they just don't get like news coverage back home because they're so common.
They can and they're so common, and like most people don't care because they hear about it too much. It's like they go, "Oh, that's so terrible."
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Post.
Goodbye. Yeah.
This is depressing. Let's change it. Yeah, I got on to. Well, I will give
off
you three.
Brand for you,
Branston Pickle.
Yeah.
Guns.
Guns. The guns is huge. That is really cool, though.
Not having to pay if you get an ambulance ride.
Yep.
But the NHS is completely fucked. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
But that is still cool. But, like, dude, there was someone that... I play on a hockey team here. And one of the guys in there, shout out Brooksy, he got his eye fucking destroyed, right? and he had to go into an ambulance, and then he had to get surgery, and like he didn't have insurance. Luckily, he was covered by like the league that we play in, like you, high deductible.
It was an injury during the game.
Oh my God, bro. Like, I thought his eye was like out of his, like I never heard a person scream like that before. Like, and it was so crazy.
Was it a puck?
No, it was a stick. Yeah, it was crazy. Bad. So like, so anyway, he had to go and get surgery and ambulance ride, and his shit was fucking crazy. Luckily, he was covered by the league fees. Like money wise?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, but like five figures, tens of thousands of dollars.
So,
it's like, and then it's like, sucks for you.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Getting hit by a car. People don't understand in the UK. They think, and again, I can't blame them, oh, I will just have to pay if I want to go and see the doctor.
Correct.
And I'll get a better service for it, which is what I currently now, if I have like a problem, I normally just fucking pay to make it faster.
Which is fine. And like to me, I mean, it's not fine. It's just not as bad as here. Whereas like, you know, anytime we've had to discuss like health stuff with the UK, it's like I can get it for free. I don't want to say that, but get it free, but I have to wait.
Yeah.
Or you could just go pay for private. Why can't that exist here?
Yeah.
Like, so then this way it's like people who are out on the street, people who are, you know, very fixed incomes and super poor, they should be able to go in and like, oh, my hand is fucking destroyed. It's
falling off. And they go, yeah, okay, we'll
fix that. Oh, fuck, let me fix that. Cool. But like if it's something where it's like, oh man, my knee is kind of fucked, I need surgery, it's like, cool, I got you in 4 months.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like that sucks, but at least they have an option.
Yeah.
And then if they're wealthy, they can go in and be like, I want my knee fixed on Thursday. And they go, all right, 15 grand. And then they go, here you go.
Here's the stem cells, mashed up babies. Get them fucking, get them fucking in there.
What is that?
Stem cell therapy.
Mashed up baby.
I don't know if it's the South Park episode is the mashed up babies.
Hackman?
I don't know what it actually is.
Yeah. It's, I don't know what it is either.
But
I was going to
works.
Say that my friend got it in his shoulder and he got, but I was like, wait a second. Did he get mashed up babies?
He might have done.
But anyway, he got it in his shoulder and his shoulder works.
It's so sick.
It's crazy.
But I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know either.
Someone will comment and tell us what they're doing. And
I hope
like,
they're not mashing babies up.
Well, old baby. It's harder to make these jokes with you now that you're a father.
I mean,
but they pop
funny.
You more though yeah, because good. Of that because no, there's good. A level of uncomfortable that yeah. happens and go
oh man dude haven't it's funny because like so Ramsey likes this show or movie called Zootopia. You ever see it?
No.
It sucks too because it's like such like propaganda for like kids, but she just loves it and we've gotten her off it. We've got her watching this movie Rio, which is just about a bird, right?
Oh, another one.
Yeah, so, and now she says, it goes, I want the birdie. That she says, but before, she doesn't say Zootopia. It's about a bunny and a fox. But she goes, bunny, fuck.
Nice.
Bunny, fuck. Bunny, like that. Fox. And I'd be like, fox, fox. And she goes, fuck. It's crazy. So it's like, it's when you're like our sense of humor and like our awareness, like that, like, because back in the day, if your kids just would be like, oh my God, how could, like now it's just like, fuck. And I'm just like,
so
that's not
do
it.
You, do you, like, because I've never done any parenting.
Yeah.
Obviously, the first time she did that, you laughed your ass off.
Died.
Yeah, but did that then encourage her to say it more? Like, how do you approach that situation?
Honestly, we kind of just get her to say it more. Cause it's
exactly. That's what I thought. Because I was like, I know this motherfucker.
I have a video of it. Want me to play the audio? It's pretty good.
Get it.
Because you'll hear me. I'll just be like, it's Fox. And she goes, fuck.
Get it.
Yeah,
get
I get it,
it
right now. It's good.
Is this a screw top?
I don't know. You got to tell me how that is anyway.
Well, we're going to get onto that.
Here it is right here.
Excuse me?
A fox.
What are you saying to me?
A fox.
Hold on.
Fox? Are you saying fox? Yes, a fox?
Yeah.
A bunny and what?
A fox.
That's a hard CK.
It's a fox.
That sounded like she said, what the fuck?
It's a fox.
Ramsey, fox.
It's a fox.
Ramsey, F-O-X, fox.
The fox.
The fuck? That's fucking fun.
She has a good one right here.
Show. Is it a bunny and what?
A fox.
That's a pure fuck.
That's it. Just straight up. So we'll get like, I'll egg her on because it's kind of funny. And I don't like post it. I like never really post her anymore, but like I'll just send it to Sherilyn and be like, look at this.
Here's a question about posting kids.
Yeah.
You ever hide it with an emoji?
No.
Right. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't really post it anymore because, but I wouldn't do that. Like, to me, I'm just like,
I can't like, fucking stand it. Like, relax. Don't post it then.
Yeah, then don't post it. Yeah. But,
there is an option to not post.
I don't post, you know, like to me, so my wife has like a private, you know, Instagram, like she has her professional one and her private one. And then if you're friends with me, like on that level, you're also friends with her on that page. So you could see shit on that, right? But like when I was posting on mine, it's like, this is going out to like 12,000 people and she doesn't know. And that is weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
but
it's like,
then you just don't post it.
At all. Yeah.
The emoji over the face.
The emoji over the face is just like, you just don't need to. I see like celebrities do that and I'm just like, just don't post the kid. Like, and then also, they all probably have private ones with their friends' fault. So why is it on the one with like 4 million people?
Close friend story, all of that shit. Yeah. I took it too far with someone that we know once, but I'm not going to tell you who it was.
I probably have an idea.
Yeah, yeah, but I made sure first that everything was okay with the kid.
Mm.
And then it annoyed me so much that I asked, is there something wrong with your kid?
Because they kept posting with an emoji?
He said, what do you mean? And I said, because you keep hiding the face. Like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
And it was just... It went down terribly. It was it's a privacy thing. And I was like, he didn't get the pop.
Of course not. But...
Me saying, does your kid have a mashed up face? Yeah.
I get that, though. That makes sense. Because I used to post it, and I was like, it is weird being a person. Because, look, we could go back to the Nirvana thing, right? Like,
preface this, because enough time has passed that people might have forgotten. What happened?
So, the baby from Nevermind.
Now a man.
Wanted to be paid because they never got paid for that. And, like...
Oh, the parents took $200.
$200 for a record, like what it sell, 50 million copies or whatever? One of the most iconic covers ever. And literally his fucking, you know...
Kid Johnson. You could say Kid Johnson.
I was going to say something else. Anyway, like, was, you know, it's all over the fucking world, right? And he wanted to get paid, and everyone's like, oh, he's looking to cash in. I'm like, his fucking child...
Say
cock. His fucking child cock, literal child cock, is on everything, right? And he had no say in that.
Yeah,
that is fucked up. And like, and then he wants to come get paid for it, and then everyone shit on him. And I'm like, imagine if your fucking child cock was on 50 million albums sold and God knows how many streams, right?
Yeah.
And this guy just wanted to get paid. How come everyone that owns that record couldn't just be like, just pop in $100,000 and let's just give this kid $500,000?
When you think of it like that, though, he could be on the bus and there could be someone next to him on Spotify looking at his car.
How insane is that? It's crazy. Honestly. So you need to think about it from like, he didn't have a say. They threw him in a fucking pool.
Why didn't they give him a bit of money?
Give him some fucking money. And everyone was like shitting on this kid. And I'm just like, imagine.
I think the shitting came from the lawyer went pretty hard. The lawyer like fucking saying blew it. It was fucking
the lawyer blew it.
CP.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that.
No, I don't want to say that. Sentence. But like, and the lawyer, like, because then honestly, if someone came at me with that accusation, I'd be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but like, why couldn't this dude just pick up the phone and call Dave? Apparently Dave is cool. Like,
he's got money.
Just call. Like, he's got more money than he knows what to do with it. And so do the rest of them. And it's like, I don't know. So going back to the root of the conversation, like, these kids can't consent to it. So, like, you know, you don't have to do it all the time. Like,
don't post them. No. Post them on closed stories.
Yeah.
Don't post them on a front cover.
If it's her birthday, like, sometimes I'll make a post about it, but very rarely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't like sharing much about my private life anymore.
I think I would just keep it completely locked.
Yeah, I mostly do that. Yeah. And but I just don't like sharing much of my private life regardless. You know what I mean? So, but sometimes I feel like it, you know, it's up to me.
You just shared a lot of it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
My favorite thing about America, other than the AC, is how cool your goddamn drinks are.
Did we figure out if this is a screw top?
Yes, it is. But bit of a preface, if you haven't listened, Tom has been on the Downbeat before, but it was in 2018, before Fatherhood, before most of our good albums. Mm-hmm.
We were making our second good one.
Was it internal?
Yeah, we were making it.
Oh, it's a screw top, bro. Swap.
No, I don't need you to do it for me.
Because it's going to be, that's committed to film, that you can't open a bottle.
I think
we talked about it on...
This might...
Don't take a sip yet.
This might suck shit, but good.
I think we talked about it on the last podcast.
Yeah.
We got a thing in Stray.
Yeah.
Where it's just me and you, really.
It is, really.
If we stop at a gas station, we go, one person's going in, give me a cool drink.
I would say Neck is in there, too. Drew's usually asleep by cool drink hours. Neck goes in... Doesn't ask you, doesn't say anything, just comes in and
comes
be like,
back with,
he's like, got your Reese's fast break. It's like, I was like, cool, bro. Like,
he's the nicest man on planet Earth.
Yeah, he really is fantastic.
Pure sweetheart. But what to you, like, say you ask me to get a cool drink, what are you looking for?
Color is a big thing. Color's so, like, huge. I went to Whole Foods, unfortunately, so it's got a lot of, like, oh,
no poison,
drinks,
no,
you know?
Poison.
No poison. So I'm like, okay. I need color, then like this looks cool, you know? It's literally ginger brew, but then it said non-alcoholic, and I was like, Craig's on the non-alcoholic trip.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It definitely looks cool, right? It could suck.
You want to know something funny?
What?
Currently, I'm contractually obliged for 30 days from yesterday to not post this on my Instagram.
Any drink
that could be related to a non-alcoholic beer.
All right, so what if we sip it and it sucks and we go, oh man,
this is going to come out after that, so it's fine.
Okay.
But how crazy is that? No drink. Not even another beer, actually, even an alcoholic beer.
That I get, but like what, you can't have anything?
Oh, I can have... I guess this is not... I thought this was trying to be a...
No, it's the brew. Ginger beer.
Okay. The color, if you're just listening to this, fuck you, because this took me so long to set up the video. The color looks like a Shrek load.
Yeah.
I imagine the amount is probably it's the volume. Cool. The volume is probably the same.
Are we trying it?
It's very gingery.
I like that.
That is spicy.
It does say spicy on the fucking label.
It's cool. If you came back with that, I'd be like, "That's you did the best with what you had." It's fucking spicy.
It's a crazy drink. I kind of don't fuck with it.
I quite like it. I'm going to drink it. Would you like a Waterloo? I got one. A backup Waterloo.
I'm going to suck this water down. That really fucked me up, though. Holy shit.
My criteria is... I feel like... I want to say blue... Is the coolest drink.
Blue load, like a green blue, light purple.
Load being, yeah, the cherry glacier.
Yeah. That's
the best flavor.
Top tier.
That is the top tier.
Most drinks that look like a load look good.
Do you want to just briefly delve into your gambling career? Because some of this is related.
What a fucking thing. Yeah, I can. I mean, I fucking grew up playing poker in like home games and stuff, and it just turned into like, man, this band was...
Hold on one second. You think that what I said is unrelated to what I just said?
Yeah.
Think about it. What are we talking about?
The gamble.
What were we talking about? The cool drink.
Yeah.
The color of the cool drink.
Yeah. Ah, gotcha.
It was actually
gotcha.
Huge brain move.
Yeah.
So if you want to start with that, and then we'll go back through.
I'll give you the gist. So anyway, I like got I used to go to poker rooms where, like, poker in Long Island is illegal. So I would go to, like, sketchy underground place, like, basement of a pizza place, like, pool halls and, like, just weird buildings that with, like, a big dude named Mario sitting at the door with a gun, like, just weird stuff.
But is that legal?
Fuck no. Absolutely fucking not. Cool. And luckily, I've never been raided by cops, but, like, some of my friends that did it, like, they have. They've had shotguns in their face and shit. Been robbed, like, crazy stuff. So anyway, I was a poker dealer, and honestly, I made so
much. How old are you at this point?
18.
That's like a child dealing.
Yeah, yeah. I was fucking good. You've seen me shuffle cards and shit. Like, it's good. Funny because, like, people will sit down and play cards, and I'm just like, and they're like, what the fuck was that? I'm just like, I've just been doing this.
And then
forever.
The fear hits them.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, God. But so anyway, I used to do that. But honestly, I made so much money. Like, that's how, like, I funded, like, all of our touring. Like, because when we used to tour by ourselves and, like, you know, book them ourselves, and I don't know how we paid for shit. But, like, a lot of it was that. Like, I put my own money into it, you know? So anyway, I've been involved with gambling for since as long as I could remember. And then now, like, I will dabble in sports betting.
Yeah. Which is now legal.
It's legal never in Tennessee. Used to be. Yeah. I used to have a bookie in Long Island. His name was B-Rad.
B-Rad.
Yeah, B-Rad.
Is that Brad, but he called himself
B-Rad? Yeah, it was B-Rad, right. But anyway, he was like our bookie, and I had to do it that way. Like, it's fucking sketchy, right? Never didn't get paid, though, if I got paid, and there was never an issue.
Yeah.
But now I could just do it through here, and it's fucking sick. And then, like, and I do it a good amount to the point where I'm a VIP. So, like, they'll hit me up, and they'll just be like, hey, Tom, like, I got a box for Billy Joel tonight. You want to come? I'm good.
Wait, that's still happening?
Yeah. That happened a couple months ago. I never go. Yeah.
Why don't you go?
Because it's fucking Billy Joel. I don't give a shit. Oh. And I got a kid. I can't.
In my head, it's the cast of Goodfellas and you in a Billy Joel box.
No. Now it's like you could just gamble on your phone. No, you just have a fucking app and stuff like that. The sketchy stuff I haven't done in a while. Because honestly, man, like it's fucking sad. Like, Uncut Gems, bro, like, it's that. Like, I had this dude. His name is Flip. I don't know what his real name was. And, like...
So far, we got B-Rad and we got...
B-Rad Flip. That's literally what it is. And then it's literally, like, Rounders and Uncut Gems, like, is very accurate. You know, there's a guy named Worm, and he's dealing it, like, shit like that. Like, and so anyway, this guy Flip, and he would come in, and he was a fucking maniac, right? He was a maniac. Not to the point of, like, where you would think of, like, him as, like, this crazy lad, whatever. He would just be shoving and gambling like crazy. And this one time, they used to have a house by the train station. And I was dealing, and his fucking wife comes and banging on the door. And they have security cameras. So he sees it, goes, that's my wife. And I'm in the box dealing, right? And then, like... He goes to get up, and as soon as they open the door, he goes to talk to her. And he's like, you fucking gambling the mortgage again, you fucking piece of shit. It's bad.
Yeah.
So, like, me and my friend that used to deal, we dealt together, who is now in music and manages, like, big bands, right? Anyway, that's what we've always wanted to do. Like, I would go to his house, and we would sit on the back, on his, like, back porch. And we would just be playing cards with each other, just talking about being managers one day, like, and how we want to, like, change management for this. Because
deliberately not saying his name?
I just don't know if he wants people to know that story, okay, honestly. Cool. So, but anyway, I would imagine he would, but I'm not going to put that out there because
that is a professional,
right? Yeah, there. For sure. So anyway, like, so we said, we're like, let's just quit this shit. Like, let's focus. Because if we get arrested, then, like, you have trouble getting into Canada. You have trouble getting into England, and you have trouble getting into Australia, and it's like, you just, and like, you deal with these scummy fucking, you know, I don't mean to be harsh and call them degenerates, but like, because it's a problem, like being, you know, I've had issues with gambling before where, like, you know, luckily it's only been a few times in my life where you lose control, right? And there's two moments I could think of in my life where I lost control, right? Where I normally leave whatever I have to leave and then play with what I want. But there's two times in my life where I went back and got what I had to leave and I lost it all, you know? So.
How long ago were they?
2013. And when did you join the band? 2016? January 2016. I remember That was the last time I was like, I'm not doing this ever again.
Was that Australia?
Australia. It was Dan's last tour. And I and
last time I gambled was in Australia as well. Sydney Casino.
Mm. You got fucked up?
Yeah, and I haven't done it since.
Well, I mean, I've gambled since, but I haven't gambled recklessly like that. Because
how,
I went,
how reckless was it?
I mean, I lost in a day 5,000 Australian. And like, and yeah, I mean, I brought 1,000 to the casino, and that should be more than enough to have some fun. If I lost it, obviously that sucks, but it's not the end of the world. But, you know, losing at that point in my life, losing 5,000 Australian, let's say it's 3,500 US, like, was a lot of money.
Was it blackjack?
It was blackjack, yeah. And what's crazy, I remember the last hand because I had $1,000 left and I put $500 out, which is a big fucking bet. I put $500 out and he dealt me two aces and he had a face card. And so I had my last 500 back and I didn't split the aces because I was scared that I didn't want that to be my last hand. So I didn't split the aces and he deals me two tens. So I have 22, I busted. But if I just split them, I have 21 twice. Yeah. And then honestly, I probably come back from there.
Yeah.
Cause I've been things where I'm stuck, but I know that like, if you go to a casino, like you got to ride it out to the point where it's like, if you get your ass kicked for an hour, you have to just deal with the ass kicking. Most people go get their ass kicked and go, oh, I'm done. Yeah. Right. But I deal with the ass kicking and then it comes back. And then when I know it's coming back, I unload and I fucking make it all back. Like, right. I'm really good with that. And like, so if I split those aces and win there, I make my money back 1,000%. But because I was scared, I didn't split. I busted. I put the last 500 out the next day and I got dealt 16 and lost. So it was just like, and then I just was so fucking depressed. And like, so I was like, I'm never doing that again. Like, so like I have lost control a couple times. So anyway, that's why I don't mean to call these guys degenerates. So going back to what I was saying, me and my friend, we were like, let's fuck this. Like, let's just go focus on what we want to go do. Right. And we did that and we're both doing it right now. Right. So I loved it. It was a lot of fun. And like, I was really good at it, but
it's not like career.
No, I mean, that's a thing, is I saw the people there that were doing it for a career, and it was just so, it was so tragic to me. Like, that's all these people did was just, like, every day were just dealt with gambling, and that's, to me, not fun, you know? Mm-hmm.
And like, now you've learned your lesson, and you gamble on the, which is my point, you gamble on the color of the Gatorade.
Yeah, that's right,
that gets dunked over the coach.
I like to call myself, the Gatorade Godfather.
How many times have you won it?
I don't know, but more times than I've lost it. I probably say I win that bet almost every year.
And how broad is the spectrum of color? Full RGB?
What? Clear, purple.
Wow.
Dude, if it's a Gatorade color, it's on there. And here's the thing.
So it's got to be like one in, what, 12?
Yeah, I mean, it's most of the time orange, red, or blue. Most of the time, right? When I've won, it's orange, red, or blue. However, there was one year, and I bet purple.
I remember this.
Purple was plus 4,000. And what that means is like, so if something is plus 4,000, that means if you put up $100, every 100 wins you 4,000, right? And if something is like minus 4,000, that means you have to put up 4,000 to win 100.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how it is for people who don't understand. So like, you know, if you wanted to bet like, you know, Messi to score on his first game or whatever, it'll be like minus 200. Yeah. So you have to put up 200 to win 100, right? So anyway, purple was plus 4,000. So I was like, I'm putting $100 on it. That sounds fun, right? Then Kobe Bryant died, rest in peace. And purple,
he fucking hooked you up.
Purple went from plus 4,000 to plus 300. So like, and I had it locked at 4,000. Everyone thought it was going to be purple because of Kobe. So like, there's that insane shit. It wasn't.
I thought it was.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. No. But I did it as like a throwaway thing. And then it was a thing. And then everyone's talking about it. And then it was, it ended up being blue that year, which I also had too. So.
cover your bases.
Yeah. I mean, you got to sprinkle a little bit, you know.
I'm sorry to interrupt the podcast, but I've got to tell you about the sponsor of today's podcast, Athletic Greens. AG1 by Athletic Greens is a concentrated blend of 75 different adaptogens, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, prebiotics, probiotics, and more in one scoop, designed to fill gaps in your nutrition, support your cellular health and your immune system every single day. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens every single day, whether I'm on tour, whether I'm at home. Helps me feel, just feel good. Gives me a little boost of energy. It doesn't taste bad either. It looks like it should. To be honest with you guys, it's bright green. Not even bright green. It's like a, if it was Warhammer, it'd be like elf clothing green. A bit like that. Looks like it should taste bad. Actually tastes lovely. You take every morning 250 milliliters of water. Have it instead of a coffee most mornings. Still have a coffee later on if I'm honest with you. But it does give me a little boost from it. The travel packs are insane. One serving. Bish bash bosh. If I'm on tour, just stick it in a bottle of water. Stops the airport getting annoyed at my random pills. Makes it less hard to smuggle in other random pills. That's a joke. Obviously, that's a joke. I'm doing a professional job on an ad read right now, okay? If you are looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving away a free one-year supply of vitamin D and K2 and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/thedownbeat. That's athleticgreens.com/thedownbeat and check it out. Help support the podcast. Help support your immune system. Check it.
When is the Super Bowl?
February.
Oh, I was going to say. Why did you do it in February?
I don't know. Because no one's doing shit. It sucks in February.
Kind of sick. Because summer's too full of shit, sports-wise.
Correct. And honestly, like, you know, you hear about that now with, like, music, whereas, like, you know, people are selling stuff for, like, the fall. And, like, so, like, even, like, our tour, right? Like,
let's talk about
that. We could get into that, too. But, like, so why we've made the gambling. We're on gambling.
We're gambling,
too.
Yeah.
So why we've tried to gamble with this show is because we've sold so many tickets in a time where no one's selling tickets.
Yeah.
So like everyone's just been like, no one's selling tickets now, and you are, and you have 3.5-4 months before the show. Like, I think it's going to pick up a lot.
Let's give some backstory.
Yes. Okay.
So
tee it up.
We have a headline tour.
Yep.
Biggest one of our career, mm-hmm. even at the original venue.
Yep.
Biggest one of our career. It is in October.
What day is it? Is October?
October, November.
It's October 25th to November 18th, and it goes all throughout mainland Europe, where we go to Spain, France, Switzerland, Vienna, Austria, Netherlands, Germany, and the Czech Republic, right? And then it also goes to the UK. And, but yeah, continue teeing it up.
So, last London show that we did, biggest headline show of our career?
At the time, yeah. Still to this date.
And it was Islington Academy, mm-hmm. London. What's that, 800?
850 cap, and we sold it out 6 weeks before it happened, which is important.
So we took, if you don't know, because a lot of people listening are like in smaller bands and they don't know, like your yeah. goal is always to make a bigger step without falling flat on your face.
Correct.
So for us, the bigger step was Brixton Electric.
Correct. 1,500 cap.
1,500 cap. We then proceeded to sell the same amount of tickets that we previously sold out Islington
mm-hmm.
in advance, as you said, at a time when no one was selling tickets. You manage a lot of bands. We'll get into that. You compared the first, 3 week sales with other bands.
Yeah.
We were crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next logical choice is to jump up a venue.
Mm-hmm.
The only available venue is ginormous, or did we want to skip?
So there was two. So, and it wasn't that we want. So personally, I'm pretty sure it was a band goal, but for me, I was like, I want to headline the Roundhouse by 2025. That's been my goal for probably since you joined the band.
Because we've played it supporting a bunch of times and it's always incredible.
We played it twice. And it's funny because I was with Zach Power the other day and he showed me the video the first time we played it with Amity and Northlane. And I was like, fuck, like look at us. Like we look so young. Like you and Drew especially. It was like, holy shit. But anyway, it was just a goal of my, like, I love that venue. I think it's so cool. Like, fucking Radiohead headlines there, you know? And I always say, like, you know, like, bands like us, like, for the longest time, were never supposed to be there, you know, like we've always had to scratch and fucking claw for our shit, right? Like we've had our people that help us, like, you know, Daniel P. Carter, big ally, right? You know, Kerrang, like big ally, right? You know, and we have our people that work for us, you know, Nanook, Mark James, like all these people that are like, you know, UNFD that have been with us, but we've never been like the big fucking, you know, industry plant kind of fucking bump.
Yeah.
We've had to just go up there and kill it, just the four of us, right? So like we never supposed to have the shots. So anyway, so I also manage Counterparts alongside my partner Rich. We do it together. But anyway, when we did their last tour, and they headlined, it was with Kublai Khan, Paleface, and Dying Wish, right? And we looked at when they went on sale and when we went on sale, and in 3 weeks, they were supposed to play Islington Academy, right? So 850 cap. Previously, they only did the Underworld, you know, in the Dome. So anyway, we looked at theirs, and within like 3 weeks, they were at like almost 400 tickets sold, which is almost half, and they had like the same amount of time. And then we were like, fuck, like we're already halfway and we have 4 months. We should upgrade. So we upgrade to Brixton Electric, and they sold that out in advance, right? So we shot for 850 and we had to go to 15 and they still cleared that, you know? So then I looked at our advance in 3 weeks and like we were double what Counterparts was at, right? And like Counterparts went to 1500, right? Which is what we were trying to do. And so I was just like looking at the trends of tickets. And I was just like, and obviously, like, you know, we talked about it a lot, the four of us, because it was like, okay, we should do it. And if it doesn't sell X amount, we could lose this much, you know? And if we sell this amount, we make the same as we would selling out Brixton. You know, so it was like all this shit, but it was just like, let's do it. You know, this will be fun. Like,
you can give numbers of tickets sold.
Sure. So like, so in the first month, I mean, we were at 1,000 tickets. You know what I mean? So like,
and Roundhouse is
3,000. Yeah, with seats. So like, I think it's 2,500 standing, and so like, so we sell 1,000 in a month. So we're 66% of the way there in a month, and we had 4 months to go.
Yeah. So we had to upgrade.
We had to, like, and honestly, like, Glasgow, we're in a 700 cap. You know what's cool too? I want a side note on Glasgow, because it's like the UK, especially since you've joined, like, it's weird. I feel more like at home with them than I would in like New York, you know?
Because you know us now.
Sure. And dude, in Glasgow, like, even the tour we did in 2019, which was so stacked, it was Gideon, Loath, and the Devil Wears Prada, right? It was stacked. And that tour sold really great, sold out every UK show. But like in Glasgow, we had to fucking crawl to selling like 350 tickets because it was always so slow. And now we're in a 700 cap and it's got like 550. So it's like 150 tickets left with 4 months.
Yeah.
You know? So we could have upgraded that too, but we couldn't find a venue. I mean, Birmingham's going to sell out too. We can't find a venue. So like, I don't know, man. Like, I hope this doesn't sound like we're like fucking sucking each other off here, but like,
no, because I think if you look at Stray, it's pretty evident that the transition has been pretty fucking linear. Like, it hasn't been suddenly, oh, this happened, so they popped off. And
yeah, but it's like, you know, we've had to, like, we weren't expecting this stuff. Like, even though like we did that November like underplay and like the Newcastle like B market kind of UK stuff, Newcastle and like Edinburgh and stuff, and like, that tour was great. Like, we were very uncomfortable and, you know, we're kind of burnt out a little bit.
PTSD.
You know? Yeah, like, we had a tough tour, right? So, like, we couldn't really relish in how crazy that was. And then we did the Beartooth Motionless tour, where it really felt like we kind of punched through a different ceiling on that one, right? And then we do this festival run. And I remember we played Download. And the band before us, like they had a really good crowd, but I was expecting a little bit more than this, right? So I was like kind of worried, you know what I mean? We have all these people, friends and industry people watching us. They're all there waiting to watch us. And I'm just like, I sweat a little bit, right? Wasn't going to show it, but, you know, sweating a little bit. And man, we sucked the Red Bulls down and you couldn't see grass.
It was that your favorite show ever?
It's up there. Nah, I think so. I think
it's mine.
I think so. Like, it's weird because I feel like I liked Hellfest more just because it was more like chaos. You know, like it was more
less people, but still an insane amount of people.
More than I was expecting for France. And like, and they went fucking nuts to the point where it was like, it was just like crazy.
We were also up against Lorna Shore, which I know we have completely different fans, but it's like, if you're just a kid who's just got into heavy music, you probably go and watch Lorna Shore because you've seen them.
It's more exciting, and you've seen us a lot.
Yeah.
And if you have to see a band that you've seen a lot versus a band that's super hot right now,
yeah,
you pick that, right? So, dude, there was that. We played during Disturbed once, and we were like,
Nova Rock.
All right, this is whatever. Like, let's just go give it all. Like, whoever shows up, let's play for them. Packed, bro. Like, packed. So, like, we're seeing this shit that, like, you know, it unfolded for us in this part that we've been working so hard for it, and like we almost weren't even expecting it, you know. And it's like it started, like people really started showing up for us. So like, so after seeing how Beartooth worked, and then after seeing these festivals, and like we're just like, fuck it, like let's go for it. Like if we want to do, we wanted to do Roundhouse forever, and now is the chance to go for it. And we're gambling for sure, you know, like.
So we need to emphasize how much of a gamble it is so people buy tickets, but also because it's like, it's not, we've got 16, what it was going to be 1550.
1500 is for Brixton Electric.
1500 in Brixton Electric. Yeah. I'm not the manager, he is.
Yeah.
We were definitely going to sell that out.
100%.
So the options were a 2000.
The Forum,
which is the venue kind of sucks.
It's, I don't know, I've never been there, but it has more seats than the Roundhouse.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. The venue itself is fine, but more seats, which would be 2,000, and we would, it's a very small gamble, but we're likely to sell that out.
Yep.
Or we do Roundhouse, which is 3,000. It then puts us 2 years ahead of our schedule that we're planned.
Yep.
But if we do the 2,000 that we assume we'll do, we will lose. Can I say the number?
Yes.
£10,000.
Correct. Not like we lose it.
Not like we lose it. We would get paid £10,000 less.
Yes.
But if we do 2,500 and above, we would make the same. If we do 2,500 would make the same as the venue that we were definitely going to sell out.
Yeah, when you lay it out like this, it makes me sound like a bad manager.
So yeah, we are gambling 500 tickets, approximately 500 tickets, to make the same amount of money as a 100% guaranteed sellout because we believe in the band being able to do maybe 2,500 or maybe even 3,000.
Yeah. I think we could do 2,500, and everyone that
please buy a ticket.
Yeah, buy a fucking ticket, please. And honestly, like, you know, I have, you know, I trust my gut more than anything. I trust the three of you guys, and then I trust maybe five other people. And I asked them all, and every single one of them said, go for it. Every single one of them. And like, there wasn't the people that were more hesitant were you guys. And I get that. I mean, you and Drew. Neck was just like, yeah, fuck it. Rare. But, you know, so like, but Neck had the same approach to me. He's like, yeah, it'll be fun. And I'm like, of course. So like,
And Drew were like, what's the money? Give me the figures.
But to be fair, you know, we talked about it because like, we were hearing what other bands were getting paid on those festivals, and like
we got pretty shafted.
We did. So, and it's funny because like I was even talking to Nanook about it. He's like, "You feel like we got shafted?" And I was like, "Yeah, bro." Like I saw, and I don't want to mean it like he did a bad job, because then I really realized, I was like, we confirmed those in November of 2022.
Nanook is our booking agent.
Just he's like Stray Family too. Yeah, like, So, yes, for sure. I forget I have to do that sometimes. What a good host.
Thank you very much.
A hostess or a host. So yeah, anyway, he was just like, you think we got shafted? I was like, yeah, like, we're getting paid literally 10% of what bands are playing, and they're playing to less crowds and less of a reaction. And
sometimes less crowd in a higher slot.
Yeah, for sure, literally. Right. And on a bigger stage. And it's like, so yeah, like, this sucked. And then it was like, well, we did confirm these a long time ago, but before we knew. And at the time we confirmed these festivals for the money that we were getting paid, it was
when
like,
did we confirm?
November of 2022. So like before the like underplay, before Beartooth, you know, like so a lot changed. And
record
honestly,
had only been out
the
for
record,
2 months.
The record just came out.
And it slapped.
Bro, like I mean, honestly, so that's the thing. Like every obviously everyone you talk to about their new record, it's the best one, right? It is the best one. That's what I would say. It's by far the best Stray record. I listen to other Stray records and I go, I wish I did this. I don't like this song, blah, blah, blah. That's the this is the first record where I like 95% of it.
What's the five?
Most of Salt in Your Spit.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
The end is perfect.
We do it all the fucking time.
But we do
it. Here's the best breakdown in the world.
Yeah, and then it's at the end of
it on.
Dog shit. Like but we usually have a couple of those. Whereas this one
track 8 and 9.
Yeah, well so this is Needful, love it. May You Live Forever, love it. 3, Bread and Roses, Guillotine.
Such a crazy
insane
five.
1 through 5. And then Law Abiding, Chess Candy, Neighborhood,
Still
Ladder
filler.
Work. Like those to me are fucking bangers, right? And then even the one song I'm unhappy with is still 50% good. You know, so but anyway, like it doesn't matter if we love it. It fucking doesn't matter at all. It matters if everyone else loves it. And this is the first time that like our opinions met. Cause like we put out Only Death Is Real. And like because of all the shit that happened, like it really got looked over. And we had to fight through that to get people to listen to it. And then Internal, we put out, and then the pandemic. So like that also didn't get a fair shake. So we had the fucking Nazi attack and on Only Death Is Real. And then we have a pandemic. And then that's why we're playing fucking Fortune Teller, and it's like people are hearing it for the first time.
Which is crazy to think, because that's an old Stray song.
It's literally 2018 we wrote it, came out in 2019. It's 2023, and we're playing it, and it's like second best of the show, you know? So anyway, but like, look, going back to this tour, you know, seeing how it was going, like we just fucking went for it. You know, Counterparts did the same thing. We went for it, worked, right? And for us, we're going for it too. And you know what? If 2,000 people come, and even still, like financially, it might not be great. It's still fucking cool, and it's gonna be cool, and it's still
it's not gonna look bad.
It like, will not, because you know what? The first one of the times we played there, on the video that Zach showed me, there was less than 2,000 there, and it still looked sick.
I remember we were sold that tour, and you're gonna do so much in merch. We got. Absolutely fucked up the ass.
It changed everything for us, because like we were so used to just having to take that's a good opportunity, got to take it to invest. That's a good opportunity, got to take it to invest. And now I feel like we're in the time where those decisions are starting to pay off. So, you know,
and that tour actually was great for
us. It was,
but we made no
But
money.
We got killed, yeah, because we were getting paid fucking.
What was the lineup? Amity, Northlane, Stray.
Bro. It was fucking Wage War, Stray, Northlane, Amity. How stacked is that tour?
It couldn't happen now.
It couldn't. And think about this, like Wage War got paid less than us.
Wage War on first.
Wage War on first. It was fucking stacked. But like, you know, the tour was cool for sure. But like the tour was really good. That was the first time that like the next time we came back, it was like, damn, it feels like there's more people here. You know, more people here for us. I've never seen these fucking people, you know? So like we're out there, man. We've just that's what I was talking about. Like lately we've had like a Kerrang cover, you know, and we've done like, you know, Sirius and BBC like debuts of songs. But other than that, like we'd never have that kind of firepower behind the band. And it was always just go and play. And the thing is, you know, and we gotta give hats off to fucking Drew. Like, I mean, Drew really knows how to get a show going. So like seeing Stray
like no one else.
Dude, like he gets me going. Like there's times where I don't not to say I don't care, but like I'm I get a 6 out of 10. You know, I'm not like hyped of who knows what else I got going on. And I get up there and I hear him talking, I'm just like, I wanna fight everybody. You know what I mean? Like
on that run we just did, there was a festival, I can't remember what it was, and I was feeling it like a 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And Drew was just unbelievable. I wish I could remember which one it was. You'll know. And he just fucking...
Yeah, I wanted to put a hole in the floor.
And then, but when he's like super aggressive, talks a little bit longer, but then when he just... Remember the first time he said, gold jacket, green jacket,
who gives
a shit?
Yeah.
on stage.
Yeah. Dude, that's what the one thing that, like, I think he that really took him to another level when we said, like, yo, do your thing, but also talk to the crowd like you talk to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where he'll be, he just, like, it feels more fun and relaxed. But then he also knows how to take it to, like, a fucking level. So, like, seeing us, you know, it's like we're not up there with any crazy production. You know, we're just up, you know, we're up there with real amps. It's just the four of us. And I love that. And I love that. And, like, it's really hard for that to click these days, you know? So, you know, we're not supposed to, like, bands like us aren't supposed to be in this position. And because we're here and we have a chance to be, we were, like, all the decisions we make where we do something for less money because it'll, like, get us more exposure, whatever, to me, those are, like, defensive moves, right? That's how that we keep the fucking ball moving, right?
Yeah.
Now it's like we're being offensive. And I like that. And we've never been offensive before. Like, we've always had to, like, what's smart? Oh, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. Like, no. Like, now it's just like, yo, we sold 1,000 tickets in a month. Like, let's go for fucking 3. Like, let's fucking do it, you know?
Do you have, because I definitely do, does getting old play into your decisions on any of this?
In a way where it's not like, I have to do this because I got to stop soon. I, like, in a way of where it's just like, I want to do this less in the future. Not like, I would love to be in this band until I'm 50. You know what I mean? But, like, that means doing, like, a U.S. tour and a Europe tour. You know what I mean? Or, like, or 1 year is just festivals. Like, I would love that. You know what I mean? Because, like, that's the thing. Like, so Stray is, like, the fucking nucleus of this stuff, right? But now that we're getting older, you know, you have the downbeat, and, like, I'm managing bands, and, you know, Drew's opening a studio, and Neck is, you know, he opened a studio with Drew to do videos, and he's doing music videos, and we have other passions. I have a fucking family now, and, like, but I love Stray. Like, Stray gave me everything I have, right? You know? And I, like, it gave, like, Neck's not doing videos. Like, think about if you didn't join Stray, would this exist, you know? Like, we talked about this, like, I could picture you on the front bench, you know, and I'm in shotgun, and we're just looking back, and you're talking to us about making this podcast, right? So think about, like, you know, maybe you're still teaching kids and stuff, you know what I mean?
I would have been. I definitely would have been.
You would have been. And then what if that burnt you out? And then what if you didn't play anymore?
It was already burning me the fuck
out.
Dude,
if you didn't join the band, we'd probably break up. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many, like, little tiny things that, like, you know, butterfly effect shit, you know what I mean? If Dan quits and you don't join, and then we get some other guy to join and he's not fun, like, we're fucked, you know what I mean? Maybe we're fucked, you know? And then the record isn't, because what's so cool, and, like, obviously that's what people like about us now, and I like too, is, like, you know, we always used to be like this, oh, they sound like Rage, and, like, cool, we did to an extent, but now it's like we're merging this, like, Rage and, like, Meshuggah with Drew over it, and it's like, this shit hasn't been heard before, you know what I mean? And it's, like, fun. Like, when we just, like, fuck around and we just, like, lock eyes and I'm like, that's cool, pull out the phone, it's record it
constantly.
We write records so quick. It's so, it's like, dude, before you joined, like, I used to write everything, you know what I mean? Like, obviously the guy has pitched in here and there, but, like, dude, like, I had to come to the idea with the song. That was so much pressure.
You literally couldn't do it now.
No.
Is it how busy you are with everything else?
No. I mean, no, but you know what? If you
Unless we were getting paid. Twitch.
Hello. But no, but, like, I probably could, but I probably couldn't manage to the extent that I'm doing. You know,
you'd make less money.
And I would have to carve out more time for it. And then who knows if I'd love it as much. You know, because right now I'm having fun writing. Before, I looked at it and it was so much pressure. I hated it because I was just like, this sucks. Like, if this sucks, it's my fault. You know what I mean? Whereas now I feel like if I write something and you think it's cool, it's cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then, like, and the fact, dude, you've, like, I mean, Needful Things, the first thing you hear on the record, that's, you started that. Like, the amount of times that something is started that wasn't from me.
Craig's Delight was the original Delight term, yeah, because it had loads of my drum beats.
You literally just sent me din 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 on the bill, and I was just, and then I just hit open, bro, with an octave. Guess what?
Everyone still goes, sounds like Rage. Actually, the drum beat is stolen completely from Meshuggah.
From Meshuggah, yeah. And so I don't know, man. Like, there's so many little things that have happened, whereas, like, Stray has given all of us now these other lives, right? Which I love. And, like, I'm very passionate about management, my family and shit. And you're very passionate about this. And and you know, and Nick and Drew. And it's like, we should also be nurturing that stuff. Because then also when you go on tour, you're like not in downbeat mode. And that's good for the downbeat.
I can't fucking do it.
That's good for the downbeat. When I'm on stage, I'm not thinking about fucking foreign hands, you know, or whatever. Like, I'm just thinking about Stray. And like, you know, so it's good to have that. And honestly, because now like we have fucking, we had 4 months off from the last thing we do to the next thing. And like now I see this, our like headliner, I'm dying to play. I'm dying to play. Before, no, I'd be like, I got to go clock in. That's what I always regretted that. Before the pandemic, we did Australia, and we were headlining. We were with Kublai Khan. Like, what else could you ask for? The shows were, like, all sold out. And we
I was getting divorced, and you were having a worse time than me.
Dude, yeah, it was, man. Like, I'll never forget, like, we played Melbourne, and it was sold out, and Sam Carter was there. He did First World with us. We had so many friends, and I was just like, get me the fuck home, dude. Fuck this. I was just so over it, because it's like we burnt ourselves out. So when I think about age... Like, I don't feel old. I don't think we're an old band. I think our sound is super youthful, and I think our best material is still ahead of us, so I'm dying to play. But, like, when I think about age, I want to be in this band forever, but I do not want to do it like we used to do it, and how we currently do it is cool for now, but I want to do it less then, because then it'll be even more special, and, you know, I could and then everyone could still take care of the other things in their lives, you know? So... this goes back to like when I was gambling in Australia and I was, you know, squeezing it because like I need to get it back. Like, I don't want that roundhouse decision to be that where it's like, ooh, can I cut a corner here? Because we've never cut corners. We've never cut them. So I don't want it to look like cutting corners. It was just straight up like math. Like, I was like, okay, we did this much in this time. I think we'll do this much in this time.
But also when the reason I asked like about the age thing was because 2025 doing roundhouse... I'm going to be old.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But that's why I want to do... I'll do Roundhouse now.
Yeah.
In 2025, I'll do an old person venue.
Yeah, we'll do like, Brixton Academy.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And, like, get to that level when I'm at old.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay, well, this is... this.
Yeah.
Now we pump the brakes. This is the level.
Because then we could do festivals and it's making... and we're making X amount of money. But instead if we were
waited,
making Y.
If we waited to do Roundhouse in 2025...
Yeah.
Then Brixton, I'm going to be in my 40s.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm 36, 2025, 37, 38. Yeah. And then we'll probably do Brixton 2 years. 40.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you would be 40. Yeah, okay.
Give me it in my 30s.
Give it to me in my 30s. Give it to me in my 30s. I mean, I hope so. Look, here's the thing. Like, I think if we break 2000, it's a win. And I think we will.
With all these people listening to the podcast, they should come.
I hope. Yeah. And can I say some corny?
Go.
It's from wrestling.
Hit me. Wait, 90s wrestling or now?
No, it's recently.
So I won't know, but come on.
You fight for your dreams, and sooner or later, your dreams will fight for you.
What does it mean?
Daniel Bryan.
What does it mean?
He said he just went out there, and we're playing this Amity Affliction tour for €400 a night. We're fucking, you know, confirming things out really far in advance and still not getting what our worth, but we're still going out there giving the best show we can. We're fighting. We're fighting for our dreams. And now they're starting to fight for us. And people are starting to show up for us. And it feels really good. And it's like what I've always wanted for us. You know what I mean? I'm having fun writing music. And I'm having fun playing shows. We scaled it back a little bit. And the minute that we could become a headlining band, like we can control our fate more. You know, because we don't have to go to someone else's schedule. And that's what I want. You know, because then we could just do whatever we want. We're not being pressured into something. It's just like, what are you free? I'm free then. You free, Nick? Drew, you good? All right, let's do that then.
And I feel like you need to get to big headliner for that, because otherwise it's like you need to pick a support
you
and
need
then
support.
That's at the whim of whatever their schedule is.
Yeah.
So like even our end of year is not ideal for you with a child. We're doing two tours back to fucking back.
Yeah. So like even like another band I manage, they're involved in other stuff too. But they're supporting, and we were told it was one time frame, and then out of nowhere they just go, "Oh, actually, it's this time frame," and it just goes, "Well, the other thing I was supposed to do is not happening now."
It's crazy.
It sucks, you know. I mean, it's not their fault. They because
like being on standby for a flight, but it's
correct. And they, you know, what are you going to do? It's the headliner gets the control, and honestly, we'll be in that position one day where we have to move a date, And I mean, there was supposed to be a different band on this tour coming up, but we were like, oh, we have to move the dates because we're doing the Silverstein tour now in the States. Again, we're supporting, so we have to go into their schedule. So it's like we had to move the dates because it's our headliner. We can do what we want. And then one of the support bands that was supposed to be on it is off.
Do it, yeah.
So it is what it is. That happens all the time. What else have we got to get into? Because we got, let's see what we got.
Well, how much?
10 minutes.
Legitimately 10 minutes?
Yeah. I can't believe it's 4:15.
It's fast. This is what happens. This is why it's so easy. And you'll like, come away and go, oh, that was bad. But it's like,
I thought it was 20 minutes.
There was nugget. There's so much nuggets of wisdom.
Yeah. I can't believe we blew it on the drink. The color misled me. But
I had a different drink, which was quite cool.
Yeah. But the one that I thought was misleading. But go ahead.
I mean, I was going to go into your fucking management career and all that stuff, but you can't cover it in 10 minutes.
No, I mean...
Let's do this. Let's end on you got two options.
Yeah.
You can end on Tom's advice for bands.
Sure.
Young bands that...
I like that. What's the second option?
Second option is a top five of my choosing, because I've got rid of this Dream Festival section because I fucking hate it.
Yeah, because you know what mine is. Rage, Deftones.
No, but also it's just like... No one gets the concept of it should be a dream. The best one ever was Will Putney did one. He was like, oh, the audience is dogs. And you know, do you know what I mean? Like, and it was fucking awesome and entertaining. Yeah. And then other people are just like, oh, I guess I'll do this. But your top five would be Christopher Nolan movies.
I could rattle that off really quick because we could do both. But I would do Interstellar, Prestige, Dark Knight Rises.
Prestige 2?
Yeah. I watched it recently.
It's so good. You're right. Sorry. No. Inception's low.
Dark Knight Rises.
Above Inception. Above, get the fucking...
Inception. And then probably Dark Knight, yeah.
Oh, I can't believe that.
I love Tenet, too. I love that.
I had this on Twitter because I feel like my top six of his movies are all number one.
Mm.
And then I got less favorites. Wait, have you seen Insomnia?
No.
It's fucking amazing.
I've never seen it. My cousin texted me about today because he's like, I'm seeing it. I'm like, let me know what it is. He's like, it's great. And I was like, gotta watch it.
It's so awesome. I didn't even know it was a Nolan film. It's so like out there, nothing like any of the others.
Yeah.
But it's Pacino and Robin Williams.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
It's fucking sick.
That's crazy.
Gripping shit.
Yeah.
Right, advice. At what point does a band need a manager?
That's a good question. Yeah. Man, you know, sometimes I feel like the manager knows. So there's times where, man, so like Dying Wish, right? Like Dying Wish, I found they were opening regional shows on that Counterpart store, the terrible Counterpart store we did in 2019. The dip for both us and
the one that we did.
Yeah, they opened like the first five shows. And like, man, I'm watching them play. And I remember the moment I was at merch talking to Mikey and they started playing and it was in Seattle and El Corazon, and there's fucking 20 people and they're playing. And I'm like, how does no one know about this band? Like, this band is so fucking sick. And then I remember they were working with someone at the time because I was like, so what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we're working with blah, blah. I was like, oh, cool, no problem. Because the biggest thing is you don't want to fucking come in there and steal bands or whatever. So I just bailed. So then a couple months passed and I know the person that they were working with. And on Shuffle, Enemies in Red came on in my car. And I was like, how am I not hearing about this band constantly? So anyway, I was talking to my friend who they said they were working with. And I was like, are you doing any of this band? And they're like, it didn't work out. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Hung up, hit them up, worked together the next day, right? And so like I knew that they were ready because I'm like, this band is so fucking good doing a style of music that hasn't been done in a while that no one is doing this good. And like, and I just wanted to give them opportunities. The biggest thing for like management to me is like, I don't ever sell someone something that I don't fully believe in. Like, I've never knew that something was a bad deal and pushed it. You know what I mean? So like, I'm
because
always,
you were getting more money from it or.
Yeah. Or just because I needed to like prove that I was working for this band. Like, and I remember, so we do the Devil Wears Prada tour. And so we did Europe together and we hit it off with Prada immediately.
Yeah.
Amazing people. And they hit us up about, you know, the guy that manages Prada is Paul, who one of the owners of the company I work for. And so he and me, I was like, oh, I want Stray for this tour, whatever. Doing. I was like, I have your whole fucking lineup. I was like, Dying Wish, Stray, and Prada. And then I had to get into it. I was like, here's why. Because like this band is, you know, they expand over metal, metalcore, hardcore. They have such unique draw. And like they appeal to so many people. They appeal to, you know, Code Orange and Hatebreed fans, and they appeal to Devil Wears Prada and Counterparts fans. Like, whatever, right? And they ended up buying into it, and then that tour is a great success, right? You know, so like there's a lot, and man, Unity, like they, like I was, they opened a show where I was leaving, and I, and they started as I was leaving, and I heard Jay, and I was just like, I stopped in my tracks and watched this dude, and I was like, holy shit. I saw Knocked Loose open a mixtape festival in Long Island. They opened, no one fucking knew, like 20 people, but I heard fucking Brian, and that stopped me in my tracks too. And I tried desperately to get that band right then and there. You know, saw them a bunch of times, and we're still, you know, really close friends. And obviously they went on to smash it, but I knew it. You know what I mean? But as far as like when bands need a manager,
let me flip it then, because you're running out of time, but also you're basically saying the manager will approach the band when the band is ready.
Yeah.
So what is like? What's the red flag for the band if a manager comes in?
If a manager comes in
and says, I want to manage your band, like,
what's the red flag?
Is there a red flag where they're like, I'll take this amount, or?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, there's, I always go artist first. Like there's time, like I have my set amount, but like a lot of times that could be, you know, unique where it's like, okay, I won't take that, 'cause that means I'm taking more than you guys. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like to take more than the fucking artist. They're the ones that are in the van. You know, that's the thing too. I always say to people, you never want to hire someone to coach your hockey team that's never played hockey before.
I think
before.
About this all the time with managers.
It's important, because now you have all these people that are working fucking desk job management shit that have never played a show, booked a show,
slept,
put out a record,
slept in a van,
slept in a room full of rats.
Had no days, you know, off.
No days off, missing funerals. Like I've missed the burial of 3 out of my 4 grandparents. You know, like missing birthdays. Like you've not done that. So when you ask a band to do it, like you need to know what that means.
Yeah.
And there's even times, like I remember, like there was a band that had all these tours lined up, and we got an offer for another one. I was like, we got this in, but I was like, it's a lot of touring. You should really like reconsider this, because like it's cool, but like I don't want you guys hating the band by the time the year's over. And they went to do it, and they battled through it, but that last tour was hard, you know. So oh man, I wish we got into this earlier. I feel like I got so much stuff I could say. But I
how long is your call?
I don't know. It's important though. I got to do it. But look, I just think, you know, when the time's right, you don't want someone that has never played hockey before to coach your hockey team. You would never hire someone that's never played hockey before.
That's a great bit of advice.
So don't fucking hire someone that's never done it before.
And you're throwing everyone under the bus.
No, I'm not, because like
there's so many of them.
But they don't have to play a show. So like even Rich. So like Rich Fernandez, he's one of the owners of the company that I work for. I manage Better Lovers and Counterparts with him, right? And Miss May I. We do that together. He's never been in a band. He's tour managed. He's sold merch. Like he ran a record label. Like he's done it. There's ways to do it in different ways. Maybe he doesn't get on stage and play, but he's on stage and he's setting up back lines. He's torment. Like he's like, that's just as important.
This is what we talked about when we were talking about it on Twitter. And it was like, hire a manager who can set up a amp and head and guitar,
mm-hmm.
because then they have at least the knowledge of music required. They've done enough to get that set up.
This happened last week. He was in Toronto and he went to go see Better Lovers, and he called me on the way back and he's like, oh, I'm just sweating my ass off. I was like, why? He's like, because I helped them load the trailer. And I was like, what are you doing, bro? He goes, I just can't stand there and watch them do it. You know, that's why. That's a good guy. That's a good manager. That's a fucking person who's done it. But there are people that are like, you know, like, hey, like there was one where they're like, hey, I need help booking a COVID test. And then they sent them, just said, check Google. Go do
that's
it,
not
man.
Management.
They're asking for help.
I'm asking you to manage the situation.
There's so many times where I won't take no for an answer. I rarely tell my bands no. I rarely tell them. And there's a way to figure everything out. Even with you, when you lost these cameras and you're like, like this might be a wash. I said, one way or another, if you want to, because here's the thing, I can't care more than you. But if you care to get it done, I'm going to help you get it done. We would have had all this stuff here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like I'm very, like there was one time, and I'll even call him out for it, but it was Counterparts in Australia and they didn't have the power converters. And I'm just getting hit up at 11 p.m. Brendan's being like, we're fucked. Oh, we're so fucked. And I figured it out.
Brendan's Tim Robinson now.
I figured it out in 14 minutes. Nice. And then I even said it to him. I was like, you're going to have him there. They'll be there in 30 minutes. And he's like, oh, cool. I was like, yo, you just said we were fucked 14 minutes ago and I figured it out. So at least give me a shot.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
don't
yeah.
stress out. I just don't want him to stress out. You know what I mean? Because I just want you to sing. Because when he's just been able to sing and we've been taking less responsibilities from him, he's been better. And you know what? Look at the band. The band from when we got him till now, the band's killing it. You know, so just focus on, if you're going to get someone, I highly recommend it. There's a lot of great managers out there, but there's a lot of people that are fucking, they're just, there was one today. I won't even get into it, but there's just people where I'm just like, are you fucking joking? How do these people get hired? Like, yeah. How do they get hired? So, but anyway.
Well, I think you're a very good manager.
Thank you, sir.
You were very adamant that we were going to get this done when I was very defeatist. Because quite a lot of managing musicians is managing people who will just say, this is fucked.
Yeah.
Brendan, me.
Yeah, you guys are, that's why you guys love each other. Because you guys, that's why you're very similar.
But that's why we need you.
I know. And I love to be that rock for you guys. But it's like, you know, I just wish, like even I say to Brendan now, like he'll start to get there. And I'll be like, yo, like, when have me and Rich let you down? And he goes, it's like, you're right, you haven't. I was like, cool, so we'll figure this out. And he's finally giving us the space to just do our jobs that he pays us to do and make his life easier. So we've done that. And like, you know, we've experienced a lot of ups and downs and it's been good. So I'm very thankful for what I got, for sure. And that's why, you know, we want our band to be big now so it could be a little bit bigger in a little bit so that we could nurture these beautiful podcasts and this management and,
I love my beautiful podcast. Thanks.
I love it too.
Thanks for coming on my beautiful podcast. It goes quick, doesn't it? We could have done it 2 hours, but we had a cinematographer setting this scene up so it looked good. We'll just have to do it again.
And he did a great job.
We'll have to do it again.
I'd love to. We could do this all, like, it's not getting old. We could talk about something complete. We could talk about what's the craziest thing in the world.
This could be
lava, eyeballs, pineapples. Like, they're all crazy.
Eyeballs are fucking
Eyeballs are fucking nuts. They're the craziest thing ever. See what I'm saying?
I'm trying to give you an out here and you keep getting into cool.
Because I love this. Like, we're hanging out in Nashville. We're supposed to hang out.
I'm here all week. Just fucking come back.
Yeah, I will at one point. It'll be cool.
Do it. I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.